Kairos, it's good to see you here tonight. My name is Mike, if we haven't met. I'm the new Kairos pastor. It's my second week. I'm new. So if you're new tonight, you're in good company. There's two of us at least who are new. Now, have you ever been to a party for the first time and you didn't know anybody? Show of hands, anybody? A couple people, okay. What did it feel like? Was it awkward, right? When I go to a party, I don't know anybody, my phone gets really interesting. Like all of a sudden it's like, man, I'm scrolling. Cause I don't know what to do with my hands. I start like kind of getting like fidgety and I just kind of feel weird. And I hate going to parties, but I don't know anybody. Now how about church? Anybody felt the same way about church? Anybody? Safe space, right? We're not gonna do Kairos because nobody's ever felt that way at Kairos, right? But like going to church, have you ever felt like, hey, it's kind of weird, don't know anybody? You feel weird looking at your phone, but you're still doing it anyway, right? Because this is what we do in America in 2021. We look at our phones when we're feeling socially anxious because it's really our best friend, right? So what we find in a moment like this, when we talk about church, community, going to church, going to an event that we don't know, it sometimes can feel so terrifying, right? Like social anxiety is a real thing. And tonight, as we talk about the hope that we have for Kairos, is that we would love to see this be a place where people don't feel that way anymore. So we're asking the question, what would it be like if when you came to Kairos, it didn't feel awkward anymore? Like what happens if we as a community make it our mission to be a place that when people walk through these doors, they feel like they're home? Wouldn't that be cool? Where we feel welcome, where we feel like, man, I just walked into a place where I feel like I've known people my whole life and I feel like I'm home. And tonight, that's what we're gonna be talking about. So this first sermon series that I felt like the Lord put on my heart as we began this new season at Kairos is a season of, it's a series based on some hopes that I have for this ministry as we continue forward. So last week, I talked about my hope that Kairos would be a place where people encounter the living God and worship him. So that's what we talked about last week. If you haven't heard it, if you haven't heard that message, if you haven't listened to it, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go and listen to it online, because it's gonna be really helpful for you to understand where we're going. Because it is my desire that every Sunday night at Kairos, that we would find people experiencing God in new ways, in very real, tangible ways, and that they would have an encounter with God that would change their life forever. And they would become a place where we see people move from being consumers to worshipers. Over and over again, we see people experience the living God and be forever changed. And if we do that, I believe we can change the temperature of our city and our nation. I believe that Kairos can be ground zero for a true spiritual awakening in Nashville, Tennessee. And that's my prayer. That's my hope for us, that we would be ground zero for an awakening, a movement of God in our city, in our community. But that brings us to hope number two, and this is what we're gonna be talking about tonight. So that my hope is that Kairos will be a gospel family. I'm gonna say that again. My hope is that Kairos will be a gospel family. So what I wanna move us away from is being a place that's an event, that Kairos is no longer an event, it is a community. It's not a thing that you go to, it's something that you are a part of. It's a series of relationships that you're a part of, that Kairos will become home. See, here's the deal. We aren't just people that go to church events together or worship services. We are the immortal adopted children of the God of the universe. If you're in Christ, it means God has brought you into a relationship with himself, and these relationships that we have matter for eternity. So if you've got a copy of the scriptures, why don't you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. We have a very small passage of scripture we're going to be walking through tonight, but it's a very powerful one. I'm going to read it to you right now. It says this. It says, we cared so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become very dear to us. Now, today, in this passage of Scripture, we're going to find two things. We're going to find a picture of what the gospel really is about, and then we're going to see a picture of what community is about. So the gospel and community. And what we find is that the relationships that we find in church, in a community like this, are cross-shaped. There's a vertical axis and a horizontal axis. But before we get there, I want to just give a little bit of background to our passage in 1 Thessalonians. Now, I've been in church my whole life, and I have two Bible degrees. I'm working on my third, and I really didn't know very much about the church in Thessalonica before I started preparing this sermon. And so I found it fascinating that Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica, and he's writing to them in such intimate terms. Because what you find him saying here is he says, listen, we loved you so much that we shared the gospel with you as well as our own lives because you become so dear to us. And so I went back and said, well, what kind of relationship did they really have, right? Because he's talking about them in terms that he doesn't use with anybody else in the New Testament. He says, man, and you guys were so dear to us. We loved you so much. So I started wondering, like, how much time did he really spend in Thessalonica? Well, to do a little background here, the city that Paul is writing to is a place you can still go visit in modern-day Greece. Today it's called Thessaloniki. And Paul showed up there on one of his missionary journeys. So Paul was one of our very first missionaries that was in the church history. He's probably the most famous missionary that ever lived. And on his missionary journey, he just went through the Roman world preaching the gospel and starting churches. And he landed in Thessalonica and started preaching in the Jewish synagogue and gained a following. There were a bunch of people that began to listen to what he was saying, and they began to want to learn more about the scriptures. And so they gathered around Paul, and that brought conflict. There was conflict because there were some that didn't want Paul to be there, and so there was a huge riot that broke out, and 3 weeks after Paul landed in Thessalonica, he was expelled by an angry mob. And that's all of Paul's interaction with the church at Thessalonica. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, like, why was Paul so connected to them? And can we replicate that at Kairos? So let's look at what Paul says about Christian community, about being a gospel family. So there's, like I said, there's a cross-shaped form to gospel community. The first is the gospel. So we find a vertical axis to our relationships. And we find that on the vertical axis, the gospel restores us to a relationship with God. Let's go back to our text. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Paul says, we cared for you so much that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. So you find the foundation of this relationship they have is the gospel. Now, the word gospel means good news. That's what the word gospel means in Greek. It just means good news. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the good news? Why is this good news? And if you look at the Bible, you find that there's a singular story that's being told throughout the whole Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We call that the meta-narrative, where God created the world, and he created it perfect. He created it in rhythm and harmony for people to be in relationship with each other forever. But then we had the fall, where we fell, and we said, God, I don't want you. I want your stuff. I want to replace you. That's what Adam and Eve did in the fall. They said, God, we want the things that you have made, but we want to draw our own boundaries about how we're supposed to live our life. And as a result, sin entered into the world, and all of us, every single one of us, was born into a sinful condition where our natural bent is away from God. And the Bible tells us that that choice has made us people who are God's enemies. That we're rebels. And here's the thing, like, I'm a dad. Today's Father's Day, right? Any dads in the room? A couple? Two or three? So you guys are like, yes. All right, no, there's a few of us in the room. So some guys are like doing the hidden hand motion, right? So fathers, by the way, it's Father's Day. It's something to be proud of. Let me see. Any fathers in the room? Just want to celebrate you guys. Yes. Thank you for all that you've done. Being a father is a high calling. And what we find here is that every single one of us, when it comes to our relationship with God, we've entered into a broken relationship with our Father God. And we've not been able to continue in this relationship the way that he wanted us to be. But the good news about the gospel is that God sent Jesus so that we could have a relationship with God again. And the beauty of the gospel is that God has moved us from being people who are his enemies to becoming his children. Now, I know that on a Father's Day, I just mentioned the word Father's Day, and I know some of us have awesome relationships with their dads. Like, I've got a great relationship with my dad. He's always been there for me. But there are some of us in this room that have conflicted relationship with our parents, right? Especially maybe with our dads. Maybe dad left home a long time ago. Maybe dad was abusive. Maybe dad was distant. One of the greatest wounds that you could ever experience is a father wound, where you feel like, man, my dad never told me he loved me, or my dad was just only there as a provider, but not really someone who cared deeply about me. So when you hear about God being a father, you may wonder, is that something I want in on at all? And today, I want to point you to the fact that God is the very best father you could ever imagine. You see, the Bible tells us that God adopts us into his family, and he chooses to be our father. He wants to be our father. He wants to have a relationship with us. Let me read you a passage out of Romans chapter 8, verse 15. I want you to hear this. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Roman church, calling them to trust God as a good father. This is what he says. He says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." The Bible tells us that when God brings us into his family, when we trust him, when we believe the gospel, when we believe that God cares about us, when we repent of our sin and we turn from our own way of doing things to God's way of doing things, you know what happens in that moment? God adopts us. And we have the same rights made available to us that are available to Jesus Christ, which is a crazy concept. So I'm a dad. I've got three little girls, Abigail, Violet, and Georgia. Abigail's 9, Violet is 7, and Georgia is 5, and they are my life. But let me just tell you something. Tabitha and I, my wife and I, we are in the process of adopting. We've been praying that God would place a child in our home, a little boy. And this is funny, because like, we just got out of diapers. Like, we're like, our kids like can dress themselves. Like, we're kind of cruising into a new space. And over the pandemic, we felt God lead us to say, you know what, there's extra space in our heart and our home, and we want to bring a child into our family. And so we've been praying about that. And on Father's Day today, I've just been thinking about this child all day. I've been thinking about this child that I don't know who he is. I don't know who his mom is. I don't know what's going on in his life. He may not even be in existence yet. And yet, we want to bring this child into our family, and we want to bring this child home because we already love him. And what's incredible is that under the law, the moment that we sign the paperwork and the judge says that that child is ours, there is no difference between that child and our biological children. There's no difference at all. Under the law, that child has the same rights and the same things that it can operate in legally as all of our other children, because we have adopted them into our family. And the same thing is true for you and I. Romans 8:15 says, it says that when God brings us into his family, we are co-heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That is an astonishing claim about the gospel. And so today, if you've been wondering if God really loves you, if you've been wondering if you have to be good enough for God to draw you into his family, if you've got to be good enough to perform to have God love you, you just need to hear this tonight, is that none of that matters. What matters is that God has chosen to bring you into his family, bring you home. And if he does, then you're his child, and he will do anything for you because he loves you and he cares about you because he has called you his own. So that's vertical. Paul shared the gospel with these people in Thessalonica, but then he engages with them horizontally, which is relationally. So the second thing I want you to see tonight is that the gospel restores us in relationship with each other. So the gospel restores us in relationship with each other. It just doesn't restore us in relationship with God. It restores us in relationship with each other, which brings us to a deep set of relationships with one another. So that's what Paul says. Let's look back in Ephesians 2, verse 8. He says, we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel, but also our own lives, because you'd become very dear to us. He said, we've become dear to each other. They became people who had deep, abiding relationships with each other. And here we find something that's powerful about friendship, is that the gospel makes us friends with each other and makes us family. So, I don't know if you thought a lot about friendship. Friendship is usually created through two or three people, or even more, all looking at something and saying, I think that's cool, okay? So, if you've been in a new situation, maybe it's your first day on campus, or your first day at a job, or your first day with, you know, a new, like you're hanging out at like your boyfriend or your girlfriend's house, or you're like someplace new with new people. When you find that there's a common interest, you go, wow, we could be friends, okay? So that could be something like basketball. You're like, I love North Carolina basketball. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, we have this in common, cool. We can be friends. Or it's music, or it's traveling. You're like, man, I went on this trip to Italy. The other person's like, I also went there. We both like Italian culture. This is great. And you find this common ground where you have people saying, I love this, and somebody else says, I love that too. But here's the trick. The more powerful and the more significant the thing that you think is admirable or lovely, the deeper the relationship is. So football can only get you so far, okay? Doesn't matter if you're a UT fan or Alabama fan, I'm sorry. That will only take you so far. Because at some point, it's gonna disappoint you. For UT fans, it's every year, okay? But when it comes to the person of Jesus Christ, what you find yourself doing when you choose to say, Jesus is lovely, and I love him, and I'm going to pursue him with all I've got, and then you have another person say, I also believe that Jesus is everything, and you look and say, you too? There's a bond that happens, that takes place, that's incredibly powerful because of the person that you are focusing your heart's attention upon. And you've seen this to be true. If you've ever gone on a mission trip, let me just ask a question. Has anybody gone on a mission trip here in the room? Raise your hand. Okay, a bunch of you guys. Now, how about some of you? Have you guys ever been to summer camp? Summer camp, anybody? Okay. Some of the same people raise their hand. That's cool. Both mission trips and summer camps have something in common, that the people that you went on that trip with or you went to camp with, there's an eternal bond with you, right? Like you look back, you're like, wow, this is my crew. We went through some stuff together, right? We had that layover, then we got lost. Like, there was this moment where God showed up. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens on these experiences. But it's because there's a common sense of mission and purpose and focus that united your hearts together during that time. And the same thing is true when we pursue Jesus together as a community. Our hearts get knitted together because of our common desire to make Jesus great. And so the question I want to ask tonight is, like, what would it look like if we made people feel that way here at Kairos? We look back and we're like, this family, this community is united around the person of Christ, where we share the gospel, but we also share our lives as well, where we feel so connected because of our common love for each other, because we are committed to the mission of making Christ great in our city. And that unity drives us to helping people feel different when they walk through our doors. When they walk into our gathering, they will feel something different because we are pointing in the same direction. We're pointing to Christ. We're pointing to Jesus. Maya Angelou said this. I love this quote. She said, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Isn't that powerful? What if the way people felt about Jesus was changed by the way that we made them feel when they came into this place? Where we made people feel like our family. To do that, we have to be united by love. We can't fake it. We can't just pretend it. We have to be united by love. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, there's a significant word I want to point us to. It's the word dear. If you look with me at the end of the verse, it says, "Because you had become dear to us." That's the reason why Paul says they were able to have this relationship, this family of faith. The word dear in Greek is the word homo romoi, which is a very rare word in the New Testament. It's the word that describes the bond between a parent and a beloved child. It's the bond that you have between a parent that loves their child. And I love my kids. And I love them so much that I don't get angry when I feel them staring at me at 3 a.m. Have you ever felt that way, where someone's like staring at you? You're like, you don't know, you turn around, somebody's actually staring at you, like right here. Well, I get that feeling about once a month, about 3 a.m, there's a presence that's like right about here, and it scares me every single time. And it's usually a child going, "Hey, Dad, can I get some water?" Which is crazy, because they walked right past the fridge, and they know how to get the water out of the fridge. But nonetheless, they need me to go help them get water. And here's the thing that's incredible, is that the kind of relationship that I have with my children is such that I will get out of my bed at 3 a.m. to go get them water because of my love for them. And church, God loves you like that. And guess what? You get to love people like that. And so as a community at Kairos, I just want to say it's a new day. I don't know how things have gone around here before. I'm new. But I want to call us to be a people that are known by our love. Because here's what I know, more than anything else, is that people would rather be loved than wowed. People would rather be loved than wowed. Because wow can only take you so far. But love changes people's lives. So here's how we're going to end up tonight. I want to point to two easy ways for us to take this to the next level. And there are going to be things that, as we do them, we're going to grow together in them, and we're going to continue to try and figure this out. But the first is that if you're not in a group, I would love for you to get in a life group. If you're not in a group with other people, get in one of our small groups. And the easiest way for you to do that is if you walk through these doors, there's a connection table, and we'd love for you to sign up for one today. Getting in a community will change your life. And the second is, I'm going to start trying to find ways for us to do a better job of communicating with each other, okay? Because relationships are all about community. In fact, when I do premarital counseling, most of what I do is I try to help people communicate. And I realize that we need to communicate with you more than just Sunday nights. And so one of the things we're going to do is we're going to kick off a weekly email that we're going to write from our team to you. And we're going to try and make it not boring. I know we'll probably fail in that sometimes. But we're going to try to make it so that we can communicate to you when things are going on around here, and so we can communicate to you our heart and how much we love you. We won't spam you, but I do want to start this because I realized one thing is that we don't have anybody's email addresses anymore for some reason. We have your cell phones, we can send you text messages, but we can't email you. And I know some of us don't do email that much anymore, but email works still, okay? So we're going to do something really interesting right now. We're going to ask you for your email address. And again, we're not going to spam you. Only important stuff. There will be no weird ads from anybody you don't know. There will be no phishing from Kairos. But what we do want to do is we want to be able to communicate with you better because we want to know you so that we can not only share the gospel with you, but also our life. Okay? So the easiest way we figured out to do this was by having a QR code. So on the screen, there's a QR code. Connect with us. If you want to take your phone out pointing at this, there's going to be a little form for you to share your email with us. And, you know, okay, psych. That was just to see if you'd actually do it, okay? That was just to see if you actually would do it. So I'm glad I heard the sound come up a couple times. But now for real, this is going to be it. Some of you guys are like, what did I miss? This is a video that popped up. Seriously, this is the one I want you to fill out. Some people are still watching the other one. That's cool. But this one is one easy way for you to engage with us and for us to engage with you more. Because here's what I want to do. I can still hear it going. It's cool. What I want more than anything else is for us not to just be a worship gathering, but for us to be a family. Because you matter to God and you matter to us. So in that, let's close out with just a word of prayer. God, thank you for being so incredibly interested in us. And I know most of us live pretty ordinary lives, and yet you have decided to intersect your glorious, perfect story with ours. And that's amazing. And so, Jesus, as we look towards what it means to be people that are more than just attenders, but to be people who are family, I pray that that would be a value that we all hold together. And God, we know that really it's you that will unite us in that. That we'll be united by love for each other. And so, God, we ask that you would do something miraculous here, that we would be people that aren't just busy and then we fit in a worship service, but instead that you would do something incredible at Kairos, where the thing that people define us by more than anything else is our love for you and our love for each other. That would be awesome. If people are like, hey, listen, you should come to Kairos because, yes, you're going to have an awesome worship experience. You're going to encounter the God of the universe there, but you're also going to walk away with the family. That would be an incredible legacy for us. And Jesus, we pray that would be a reality here. It's in Jesus' name.